Today's program has been brought to you by TechServe, New York's original and still the best Apple computer, iPod, and iPhone store and repair shop. For more information, visit TechServe.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm back for another week of radio in Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And today I'm joined by Colin Crockett and Bradford Still, the creators of Fresh Till Death Raw Nut Milk. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Thank
you. Straight out of the gate, what do you do?
Well, we specialize in making a large variety of nut milks. Where most cafes that have caught on to making almond milk basically really only do make a small variety of milks, but we specialize in making pretty much every sunflower and pumpkin seed and all the different nuts, pretty much everything besides peanuts and soybeans.
Yeah, because, I mean, you have pistachio milk, almond milk, pumpkin milk, which I'm severely allergic to, but sounds awesome. Yeah. You know, you also have flavored syrups. I mean, give me the rundown.
Well, we run a cafe in Fort Greene. We try to make everything in-house. We roast our own coffee. We make the milks there. We try to use the, you know, rawest, freshest ingredients we can come up with. You know, we make the chocolate from raw cacao, and we, try to just sort of centralize the operation there and provide a really good experience for the cafe, and also supply the neighborhood with their, you know, needs for fresh almond milk and pistachio milk and all these other ones they haven't gotten to try yet. We think that they're really, really much better when they're fresh, and they're absolutely delicious. I just was making some hazelnut hot chocolates today. Fantastic.
How did this project come about? Tell me a little bit about your backstory.
It kind of started when I started getting into doing more of a raw foods diet for health reasons of my own. So when I was reading through all the different raw food diets and the recipes, I came across almond milk, and there was a recipe for an almond milk, and there was a recipe for a cashew milk. Huge fan of cashews, not so much of almonds. And then I began to wonder why people didn't use all the different nuts to make the milks. The process seemed so simple that it didn't seem like there would be much of a difference between making a Brazil nut milk to an almond milk. We did find out that there is a pretty large difference between the two processes. One needs to soak for a longer period of time, where like softer nuts don't need to soak for as long. The soaking process is just meant so that you can actually digest the nut a lot easier. So from there, at the time Bradford was launching a cafe, and we decided to start introducing some of these different varieties of nut milks at these cafes, and they were a huge hit and tasted delicious and frothed. A lot of them froth exactly like a whole milk does, especially like a hazelnut milk. And from there, the ideas just kept on growing and growing, where we can actually start making ice creams out of them. We can use the pulp from the raw nuts to start doing baking and dehydrating, and the possibilities are kind of endless.
So, yeah, how do you actually make nut milk? Because you're definitely, I've always purchased like really crappy like almond milk or rice milk at the store. But I've tried yours and it's amazing. So how do you make it? You're obviously not milking a teat. You're dealing with...
Oh, well, we kind of are.
How does it work?
you soak the respective nuts in water. For different periods of time, depending on the hardness of the nuts. Some of the softer ones, like seeds or sunflower seeds or cashews, are very quick to kind of like pull the water in and plump up. And if you ever are snacking on nuts, it's kind of nice to soak them for a little while. A lot easier to digest and a lot kind of gentler on your stomach. With almonds, if you soak them for a while, you can pop the skins off, which a lot of people don't like almonds because they do have some sort of allergic reaction to the skins. So you will find this, that some people do soak them anyways, just to snack on them. And they have a much different, you know, consistency or texture to it. It's almost more like a vegetable in some way. But once they're hydrated, we rinse them off, and then we liquefy them in a blender with a set ratio of a water, you know, water to the nuts. You can make them as rich or lean as you like. You can make them, you know, more from anywhere from like a low-fat or non-fat milk to a cream or like a heavy cream. Just by increasing the number of, you know, the amount of nuts to the water ratio. And then you just blend it. We blend it for, you know, different periods of time for different, you know, applications. But you just want to make sure that they're, you know, completely, you know, blended, liquefied, basically. And then from there we strain it through a really fine mesh cheesecloth. It's a little bit laborious, kind of time-consuming. You have to keep track of your, you know, the amount of time you're soaking it and the different things. But it's not really that, it's not super, you know, difficult, but it's, I think the results are definitely worthwhile, and it's, you know, you end up with a really great product with
we
the
did,
vitamins.
We did a lot of experimenting on the milks before we really were able to dial in what we were really doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because, I mean, how long did... That seems like a actually kind of complicated process. How long did it take for you to perfect it once you started testing?
We started making them at Cave, the cafe in Bushwick that I was helping launch about a year and a half ago. I was talking to the owners about whether they should carry almond milk. I definitely was thinking that it would be good for the place. We had been talking about doing it, and we just started experimenting there. And then we've been doing it since in all the different cafes that we've done, or not necessarily for them, but... for ourselves, or, you know, on the side and kind of playing with it. And then we've started this cafe about the Cafe of Fort Greene, which is a really interesting place. It's called Red Lantern. It's on Myrtle and Carlton, just before Fort Greene Park. Really cool operation. It's a bike shop, cafe, and bar. And we make all the milks there, and we make, you know, that's where we really kind of have perfected it. We've got it all laid out the way we like it, and, you know, we can sort of, you know, adjust the parameters a little bit and see what happens. And, you know, we definitely had some failures and some successes, but it's been interesting.
How would you describe, like, who's coming in and buying this milk? What's the kind of person?
Well, that's what's cool. It really appeals to a lot of different groups. You know, there's a lot of vegans that are, you know, definitely will search it out and come find the product. People that are lactose intolerant or find that they're, you know, can't really handle or that it's, you know, bodies just doesn't agree with them.
A lot of moms that have children with dairy allergies are coming in for the milks.
Mm-hmm.
We do mostly deliveries, home deliveries to the moms.
It's kind of interesting. You're like the other milkman. Yeah, I mean,
good jokes for that. Go on.
Yeah. You know, it seems like I've worked in restaurants in New York, and I used to work in a bakery that specialized in ice cream. I have severe lactose intolerance. I'm also allergic to pumpkin, which is totally weird. But other than that, I, you know, people constantly would come in and be like, I'm allergic to gluten or, you know, some kind of nut or, you know, lactose. But it seems like more and more people are allergic to things, or maybe it's just... You're in New York City where there's billions of people, but do you feel like you're noticing a lot of very specific allergies given who's coming to you guys?
Yeah, definitely. I never realized how many people had dairy allergies. So many of our customers are coming in requesting for vegan pastries. We do vegan pastries over there as well. And I was a little skeptical on how our vegan pastries were going to be selling, and was pleasantly surprised that It's one of our most selling items. Is actually, we just realized today earlier that we go through more of our vegan milks than we actually do our dairy milks now.
Wow.
Our dairy milk moves very slowly now. It doesn't really go anywhere.
Well, and that's what's cool about it, is that even people that don't have a problem with dairy really enjoy the flavor. And so, you know, to get a nice coffee with some hazelnut milk in it is unique. It's different. You know, it's not something you can get at every cafe. It's something that we kind of feel it makes our cafe special. And it's just, it's like a very surprisingly satisfying, you know, substitution.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I think about cookbooks and nut milk recipes. I always think of like 1970s sort of here's a recipe for almond milk, but you guys have blown the lid off here and created pretty much like any kind of nut milk ever, it seems.
Then
adding cool flavors to it on top of that.
I mean, at first we were playing around with doing them just pure. We've played around with doing all types of flavor combinations, you know, throwing fresh coconut in the mix or different spices or, you know, a cinnamon sunflower milk or, you know, cashew. I mean, all types of things. It's really fun to incorporate the flavoring ahead of time, you know, into the milk. Like, you can mix them with dates or figs or any type of natural sweetener that, you know, provides another sort of, like, you know, raw food, you know, flavor. Well, not just flavor, but it's actually in there. But a nice flavoring that complements the nut, and then you get this sort of kind of hybrid combination that can be really interesting and really delicious.
What's your favorite jam right now? What are you guys drinking?
My jam is the pistachio mint milk that we make.
Wow.
With the pistachios, instead of using a regular water to blend with the pistachios, we use a Moroccan mint tea.
Wow.
That's hot brewed, and make a pistachio mint milk. When you add that to a coffee, it kind of tastes like the Girl Scout Thin Mint cookie. It's pretty amazing.
I liked my favorite one that we did recently was we did a coconut with a macadamia nut. It's just delicious.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Damn.
Yeah.
This is also, I go to the alcohol thought in my head, where it's like a white Russian, there's infinite possibilities with you
guys.
We
have some clients.
Yeah, we do. For a little while, we were going to Lucky Dog and giving them some almond milk. But definitely a macadamia nut milk with a white Russian is the way to go.
Yeah, jeez.
It's pretty awesome. Especially if you make the macadamia a little bit more on the creamier side, because the white Russian is made with half and half, or a whole milk or a half and half.
Usually cream, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want one right now.
I'd go for one.
Let's still make some milk.
They don't serve those here?
Aw. You guys are not vegans, right?
No.
No. So this is just...
Yeah, this is something that came from more of a... Me and Bradford have worked in a cafe together starting like 12, 13, 14 years
ago. Long time ago.
So we met each other.
Wow.
We had an amazing boss out there that was, we were working for one of the first cafes in Phoenix that was really cared about what they were doing, roasting their own beans. The first latte art that I had ever seen, you know, they were very adamant about how well the barista was
presentation,
supposed to be trained.
Presentation.
We worked for them for a really long time and like learned some really great work ethic. From there, kind of just, it built into, I ended up moving to New York, you know, almost 5 years ago, and started launching some cafes out here, and definitely seeing the same recycled idea over and over again. There's obviously great coffee out there, which people are just now realizing, and as far as the cafe goes, entering those cafes where it was just a computer-littered cafe with very pretentious baristas behind the bar was something that we wanted to like really steer against, but kind of couldn't figure out how to do that.
It's an ongoing battle.
Yeah, it really is. But when we found out the milks and like what a different clientele that brought and what a different place that it would be, it was definitely like a reason to really start with a new cafe that had a different purpose than just being that recycled cafe, Williamsburg.
Well, I feel like every cafe we've ever worked at or helped with, it was always sort of in the back of my mind, like, if this were our place, what would we do differently, you know, and how would we present things differently, and how could we make and we, you know, still try to incorporate those things, but it's always, you know, it's different when you're doing it for an owner and to do it for yourself. Yeah. I think our place has a really nice, cozy vibe. I mean, it's a little rough and tumble, but it's, like, very, kind of comfortable. And it's very interactive. It's not one that you go in and everyone's, you know, zoned in, has headphones in. They're all hanging out and talking to each other.
It's a very distracting place.
It is distracting.
Thank God.
Half of our customers forget to pay because they're so distracted on what's going on.
That sounds great.
We're roasting beans.
Well, hopefully they come back.
And nut milks, and they're getting their bike fixed at the same time. And then they're thinking about getting, you know, a founder's stout before they leave.
A little bit for everybody. A little something
We try to keep them distracted from the minute they get there.
Besides the laptop.
Well, we're going to take a really quick break, but keep it locked, because when we get back, we've got more from Fresh Till Death. You're listening to You Look Hungry. Stay tuned.
Man, Joe, your computer is so slow, I can't even use this thing.
Yeah, I should probably get a new one. Do you have any suggestions?
Oh, totally, man. You should go to TechServe.
Okay, what's so good about TechServe?
Well, they've got this awesome new insider program that's free when you get a new Mac with AppleCare. So you should buy your computer there because you get 50% off data transfer, free loaner computers, front-of-the-line repair privileges, an annual Mac tune-up service, backup consultation and setup, seminars, and much more.
Okay, yeah, where's TechServe?
It's at 119 West 23rd Street in New York City. They're New York's premier authorized Apple reseller and service provider, and you should totally check out TechServe.com for more information.
All right, that settles it. I'm headed to TechServe.
If you're just tuning in, you were listening to You Look Hungry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm still your host, Helen Holliman, and I'm joined today by the brilliant geniuses of all things nuts, Colin Crockett and Bradford Still. That was the worst intro. The creators of Fresh Till Death, Nut Milk. I don't know, nuts, when nuts are involved, things just can get awkward.
So tell me about it.
So before the break, we were discussing, you know, the culture of nut milk, and it's pretty hard out there to get some quality milk that is not from a cow. And so you guys met in Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I want to shift the conversation a little bit and talk about, you know, what I have never been to Phoenix, first of all, which is weird.
That's
considering I'm
you.
From Texas. Yeah. It's good for me?
Yes.
Yeah. So
you don't need to go.
So I shouldn't go. Okay. Well, how would you describe Phoenix versus New York? What's the scene over there like, food wise, coffee wise?
How much time do we have?
The next 24 hours.
Yeah.
Go.
Well, Phoenix is a very interesting city. It's a desert city, very hot, very nice in the winters. Over 100 days of over 100-degree weather every summer. So it starts in, you know, beginning of May and ends up around Halloween. It finally starts cooling off. It's a very flat, expansive city. It's very cheap to develop in, you know, suburbs. So there's the downtown Phoenix, and then there's a ring of suburbs, and then there's another ring of suburbs, and then another ring of suburbs, and it just keeps going. And so what you get is a very dislocated sort of populace that is all these little tiny centers that are really just kind of strip malls and Chandler or weird spots, and, you know, and there's not much of a, like, really coming together of the people. Like, you don't really, everyone's kind of isolated, everyone's in their car, you have to have a car, there's no public transportation.
Lacks a lot of culture.
Yeah. And, you know, what the culture that is there does have some sort of, like, redeeming qualities. There's, it's always like that in cities that aren't, you know, super hip or cool, that the people that are there are kind of, like, fighting the good fight and trying to, you know, keep the place interesting. So, I mean, in a ways, I had a really good time in Phoenix. I thought it was a fun city to be around. As soon as I moved to downtown, as soon as I lived in the middle, and it was like I could still access the, you know, the suburbs I wanted to go to, which I didn't go there very often. I mostly rode my bike around, and, you know, I'd leave for the summers, and it was pretty livable, you know. And it's pretty easy living in a lot of ways. It's cheap. It's not a whole lot to do, but, you know, there's...
There's surprisingly really good restaurants in Phoenix, though. That was one of the biggest perks I felt of Phoenix was the restaurants and, you know, how close any kind of, like, outside. You could go an hour in either direction and go camping or hiking or, you know, it was accessible.
Where should I eat in Phoenix?
Pizzeria Bianco is probably my recommendation. I mean, there's a lot of good restaurants, a lot of good Mexican food.
Pretty much any of the 24-hour drive-through Mexican food restaurants, you can probably get some awesome things. That's pretty much all I ate there for most of my life out there. But Scottsdale does have some pretty great restaurants out there. There's the Cowboy Chow restaurant, which is one of my favorite places. They do some, Texazy, which is like a kind of, like, you know.
Tex-Mex
food,
combination.
Which is pretty great. But yeah, mostly Mexican food.
Wait, is that a lingo word? Texazy? What is that?
I don't know.
Well,
what is that?
Texazy is just a combination of like Texas, Arizona, Mexican food, Northern Arizona, or Northern Mexican food is what it was. I think they had a different name before that, but they ended up getting sued over it and had to change their name to Texazy.
It's Texas.
Awesome chicken fried steak.
Oh, man.
Never understood that concept.
So Fresh Till Death probably isn't going to be in Phoenix anytime soon.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Possibly, maybe.
I'm actually thinking about going back to help a friend. He's got three properties in downtown. He's a tattoo parlor, a tattoo studio, an art gallery, and another thing. He's got three houses in a row. It's in a commercial zoned area. And he wants to turn the whole backyard into a farm and restaurant. And he got a cool Airstream trailer that he wants to turn into a coffee shop. So it'd be part of this whole kind of rambling backyard that would be pretty interesting. So it may be the next outpost. I don't know. And then Colin's sister was thinking about launching something too, right?
Yeah. We've got some family out there, so we're never going to really be able to abandon Arizona as much as I want to. But
I mean, I like going back for short stints of time.
Yeah.
2 weeks is getting to be a little too long now. New York's just, I don't know, it's tough to compete with.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, in terms of opening a business in Brooklyn and, you know, the clientele that you work with, how would you describe the pulse of being a business owner or creating something in food at this point in time in New York? Do you think it's easier than before, maybe like 10 years ago? Do you think it's harder?
Well, I mean, I think right now that we're starting this company, probably the best time that it could possibly have started. Cafes have already established themselves as being high quality. It's pretty rare that you come across a cafe that isn't producing something that's high quality, and if they are, they don't actually know it, but at the same time they are really trying. You know, they've just been sold on different products that they think are going to be nice. So then also, and then also to just add something to that, like the vegan nut milks is really kind of taking everything for a spin, and nobody's doing it. People are constantly wondering why people aren't doing it. People are so confused by how vegan nut milks are even made. Even when they're watching us do it, they're asking questions like, how do you guys do that? Like, well, I'm doing it right now, and this is how it goes. But then they also come across like the question, like, why are you doing that? Like, when you could just be drinking milk, and you know, so many people just don't understand that too. But I do feel like, you know, people right now are, there is so many allergies out there, and you know, people are having a really hard time with like being able to drink what they want to drink, but having to, you know, just get like a store-bought almond milk, which is, has tons of preservatives and refined sugars in it, and they think that they're doing something.
It doesn't taste very good anyways.
Yeah, it tastes like salt water. And they, then that's the other thing too, is they really do think that they are doing something good for themselves, but it's, you know, after a little bit of explaining to a customer like why these other milks are so bad, not only like is a store-bought almond milk no longer raw, there is a, you know, the pasteurizing and everything is making the almond no longer raw, and then they're also adding preservatives and refined sugars to it.
Yeah, so I mean, it's shelf stable, it's, you know, it can sit there for months, and that, I mean, that's,
that always reminds me of like the little tiny creamer. Yeah. So you would get, mm-hmm, like, you know, and
the
like,
pyramids
that always build. Be outside, and you're like, how's the milk outside? The refrigerator. But no, I think it really is like the best time to start doing this.
I mean, a lot of people have been exposed to, you know, store-bought almond milk. I'm glad it's out there because it's at least sort of provided the, you know, the working knowledge. Like, people are exposed to it. They know about it. And maybe they like it, or they've tried it, or they don't really care for it, but at least they're willing to try ours. I mean, if we were trying to do this 10 years ago, I feel like people would just be not even, you know, trying to comprehend it.
Mm-hmm.
Now at least people are sort of like, you know, into the idea and trying to see what, you know, maybe healthier alternatives and all sorts of reasons. I mean, yeah, whether or not you just like the flavor, or whether you are doing it for your, you know, for a specific health reason, or, you know, you just miss milk and but you can't drink it anymore. So I think it's, there's a pretty receptive audience to it.
Yeah. I'll never forget when soy milk first came out, and like, usually like the kind of jockey dudes would be like, soy milk, like, I hate that stuff. It's like, wussy milk, like, they're always like pissed about it. It was really strange.
Yeah, why is that? Because it, yeah, I don't know why that was,
I think
like
it's
a thing.
Because the milk industry has done such a proliferation of like ads, and you know, it's just been a staple. I mean, you know, there's studies that drinking milk actually leaches calcium out of your bones. It doesn't replace the calcium. It's not good for you. You know, I mean, I think most people are lactose intolerant. They just put up with it or deal with it or something. Yeah. But it's just because of, and there was this push in the 80s and 90s to like really reinvent milk. You know, you got milk and even all these different things. It's like just so much advertising for milk. And I mean, I mean, I don't blame the dairy farmers for trying to protect their interests, but I'm not sure that it's really in the best interest of the population.
For sure. I mean, are you guys working on a cookbook, like a beverage book or anything like that?
Well, yeah, that's a good idea. You know, once we have a stranglehold on the market, you know, we'll tell you how to do it.
Yeah.
Well, with that gangsta name, like Fresh, yeah, Till Death, it's a real, yeah, kind of whoop ass title. I like it a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Well, like,
no one's gonna, yeah,
the chest tattoos really help. You know?
Yeah, chest tattoos.
You guys have chest
purple
tattoos?
Handkerchiefs, like, mm-hmm, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's more of a belly tattoo, I guess.
Turning it.
So yeah, where can people access the milk, and what can we look forward to seeing from you in the future?
Well, we supply a few of the cafes in Brooklyn, notably Upright Cafe in Greenpoint, Skytown in Bushwick, or it's a grand.
Yeah, by the way, go to Skytown. It's on.
Awesome place.
What is the address?
Broadway and Myrtle. It's
I wish I knew the exact address. Well, it's called Skytown, and some really good friends of ours that are making some amazing dishes.
Really we supply them with delicious food.
Yeah, we'll do like we do like almond and a cashew and a hazelnut milk over there. Mm-hmm. But
so you can visit one of our satellite locations, you know? or you can come to the home base. Come visit us at Red Lantern. It's a great spot to hang out. Chill. We've got internet there. That's a nice place to hang out.
No laptop,
especially if you're a biker. I mean, it's a really nice spot to like kind of cruise in and, you know, I don't know, get your bike looked at.
You can always come into Red Lantern as well, and like we have a list of all the milks that we do. If there's any of the milks that you want to purchase and do a custom order for, you can come in 24 hours in advance and we can get you that milk. You can also go on our website, freshtilldeathbk.com, and get any of our milks from there, and we can also deliver them to you. We usually do deliveries like Mondays and Thursdays. All of our deliveries are free, and you can pretty much do any
come
kind of
to
samples.
Us, we'll bring it to you.
Yeah.
If I bring a laptop, will you be holding a baseball bat?
A growler of almond milk. No, we're not that against it. We just don't want it to turn into one of those places.
I will bring my bike. Yeah. I will bring my bike.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
And as always, thanks to Joe Galarraga, Jack Inslee, and the rest of the crew at Heritage Radio and Roberta's. I'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Let's go out to eat and get some meat.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.